Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work. Make them go as you shoot across the sky.
Good morning, 510 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Fort Pickens is open, apparently. I don't know. P&J says you can go drive there. I seem to be getting conflicting information, and, you know, they're not updating their Facebook page because, you know, they're not working. So it's kind of hard. I can't call and be like, hey, what's the status? Because ring. And I'll just be honest, I'm interested, but not so much that I'm going to drive 45 minutes all the way out to the end of Fort Pickens Road in order to find out what's really going on. The way I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, if you have firsthand information, I'd love to have it, is that there's nobody manning the guard shack and you're supposed to pay with a QR code. We talked about that yesterday, whether you trust them or not. And it's sort of the honor system for entrance fees right now. But also, you can't camp there. The campers are supposed to leave. So you can wander in and out. Maybe you pay. Maybe you put a little money, you know, tuck underneath the door or something. And I don't know. I guess that's the status of things. So, you know, we're in weird territory, you know, trying to figure out what is open, what is not. NES Pensacola is fully operational, except the public can't go there. And so all of the public-facing areas, you know, you can't, like, go to the museum, you can't go to the lighthouse, you can't go on base. It's closed to you unless you're supposed to be there for work. Other minor effects of the shutdown, we were supposed to have Admiral Huffman on today from NETC, and that is not going to happen now. Not because they're not working, but because, you know, we're in a shutdown phase, and if the senior leadership is not communicating because they're not working in those ways, it seemed like it'd be kind of out of step with leadership in order for, you know, so I was bummed about that because I thought we'd be able to talk. I expected we'd be able to talk with him about some of the things that Pete Hegseth said, because a lot of what Pete Hegseth said about training is going to apply to NETC, since, you know, NETC oversees, you know, basic training for the Navy and almost all of the follow-on training of every sort. And so, you know, training was obviously a big part, you know, meeting standards would be a big part of what Hegseth is talking about. So, you know, how would that affect, if at all, you know, what NETC does? But don't worry, they'll come back on. I was talking with his PAO or his comms person yesterday, and she's awesome, Commander Steger. And anyway, just so we'll get it if soon enough there's the end of the shutdown. You know, which could be tomorrow or could be like in February because nobody knows what's going to happen when there's a shutdown. Meanwhile, one question I know a lot of people might sort of vaguely be having is the Blue Angels, though, right? Yeah, it's a question. I mean, we're a long way off. We're like, what, 5 weeks away from the homecoming show? That's a long ways away. It's unlikely that, I mean, when would a government shutdown ever last for 35 days? Uh-oh. Dang it. The last one. So I would expect that's not going to be a factor, but there's a lot of time between now and then. You know, anything could happen. So we're waiting to see. Meanwhile, did you see that Pensacola got, you know, thrown under the bus yesterday? I will tell you, this Doge thing is actually starting to, pardon my French, piss me off. It just seems like the dumbest thing ever. You know me, I'm a conservative. I'm in favor of finding wasteful government spending. But I still feel like at the federal level, it was a lot of show and not a lot of dough. it was, here's a few outrageous examples of stuff, and then how much did you really cut? Oh, and in the process of cutting these things, we have to hire people who we have to pay extra to staff the thing that we cut, or we have to rehire them later. I mean, it was more chaos and smoke than it was real solving of anything, or so it seemed to me. I think the same thing at the Florida level. I mean, they send all these teams around, these DOGE strike teams around, to figure out what everybody's doing wrong at the local level. And what they come back with is, you know, Pensacola built a wasteful sign.
Wednesday afternoon, the city of Pensacola called out for poor spending habits.
They paid almost $600,000 for a large neon Welcome to Pensacola sign. Maybe it should say Welcome to Wasteful Spending.
This result...
That's Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. I'm like, I don't know. I like the sign. Maybe we shouldn't do landscaping because landscaping is a waste of money. You know, maybe we shouldn't be painting things because paint is a waste of money. I mean, why do aesthetics matter? I mean, just stupid. But I mean, what? It's such a weird thing to fixate on. As though what we had was some open-close hotel sign. Like, it's a beautiful sign. I love that sign. We have lots of interesting art in the area. Whether you're talking about the sailfish sign or the Pensacola or the, what's the other one? Like the beach ball, you know, it's been there for a long time, but it occasionally has to be repainted. I mean, is Escambia County going to get in trouble because, what was it, last year they repainted the beach ball? Oh, yeah, how dare you waste money on paint for something that's purely aesthetic? It's part of what makes us who we are. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing to fixate on. Now, I know they also have comments about the drag show and the fees paid to ASM, but, you know, it makes it sound like what we're paying money to is we're paying all this money in order to get drag shows here. I don't think that's accurate. I think they just pay a management fee to ASM, and the Sanger revenue generates, so it's not really a cost. If you didn't have it, it's not obvious that you would gain money anyway, and if you weren't, I'm not impressed by this. I've heard some stories about, let's just say, the level of competence by the DOGE strike teams and what they really know about government, because it seems like maybe a lot of them don't know a lot about how government operates, and they're just more being sent in as a pretext to give sound bites in order to create this manufactured perception that local government is wasting money in an effort to shed negative PR light on a problem that doesn't really exist so that you can then justify the property tax referendum, which I don't disagree unless we're not going to also provide other ways of spending. We talked about this quite a bit yesterday, but it all feels a bit manufactured to me, but, you know. Maybe I'm wrong. 437-1620. Now, if you want to talk about actual embarrassing, horrible municipal decisions, let's go out of state to Philadelphia. Did you hear what Philadelphia has done now for the third time in their history? They raised, this is not a joke, this is not an exaggeration, they raised the red Chinese flag over City Hall in Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia, the home of democracy, the house of the Liberty Bell, that, you know, like where Congress met. Like, Philadelphia is now celebrating the People's Republic of China. And this is now the third time they've done this. The Office of Immigrant Affairs hoisted the red flag with the star of the Chinese Communist Party in front of City Hall to celebrate the anniversary of the establishment of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, I'm just not making it up. This is not an exaggeration. This is a real thing. It was approved through the Philadelphia Honors Diversity Flag Raising Program. That's the name of a program, the Philadelphia Honors Diversity Flag Raising Program, established in 2018 to celebrate the cultural heritage and contributions of the city's immigrant communities. Oh, hey, you can celebrate the Chinese in Philadelphia as much as you like. You can celebrate all of the ethnic diversity as much as you like. Why are you celebrating the establishment of the government that they fled to come here? What next? the flag of the Soviet Union. I mean, what are you doing? Hey, here's the flag of North Korea. Look at this horrible, terrible, oppressive place. We've got three North Koreans living in Philadelphia, and they wanted to honor. No, they didn't. Who wants this? And by the way, this is one of those things where all the local politicians, all of the folks in Pennsylvania, they all, you know, they were just couldn't believe that this was happening and would come out against it. But there it is. It's now been done. So Philadelphia City Solicitor Rene Garcia told Newsweek the flag-raising ceremony was approved through the Honor Diversity Flag Program. Quote, in accordance with First Amendment precedent, the city of Philadelphia's flag-raising policy applies objective viewpoint-neutral criteria. Specifically, if a foreign nation's flag may be raised in the country, may be raised if the country maintains a consulate or embassy in the United States or is recognized by the United States Department of State, the People's Republic of China meets both criteria. Well, that does not explain why you do it. That explains why you might be legally allowed to do it. But is they have an embassy here, and so it's a good idea to put the maybe you make a transgressor ceremony. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Hardware is much more than a hardware store. In houseware and giftware, you'll find luxury candles and detergents, along with the finest cutlery, cookware, and the ever-popular woodware. We have the best selection of grills and grilling accessories for your home and backyard. Oh, and don't miss our great selection of birdhouses, feeders, and garden accessories. Shop local and make Pensacola Hardware your first choice in making your house a home. Come see us, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown Pensacola, where customer parking is always free.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
One of the sources I get for newer music that I might not otherwise be familiar with is the Blue Angels Airship, their soundtrack, because they're always updating music every year with, because their goal, right, is to recruit.
Right.
So I know a lot of times people, you know, they want this or that from the Blue Angels, and, you know, of course, it's not aimed at the 45-year-old man. It's aimed at the 18-year-old kid. Now, that's it's a recruiting tool, right? The purpose of the Blue Angels is to get people to be like, I want to fly for the Navy or whatever. You know, I want to maintain for the Navy. I want to sail for the Navy. So I pay extra attention to their soundtrack because it's deliberately created by the younger, you know, enlisted, basically, because they know what people are listening to. And then every year they update it with new stuff. And I know what you want to hear is Kickstart My Heart, but that song is 40 years old. so, you know, it's still a great song, but that's not really for you. 437-1620. Oh, what did I recently discover? The Roots. Are you familiar with The Roots? I must confess, I was not really. But we were watching, you know, the old, semi-old, I guess, Charlize Theron and Will Smith movie Hancock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's like 2008. The end scene, or the end credits, had a song, and I'm like, oh, that's a cool song. And I go to TuneFind, which is a great web resource where you can look up the songs and movies. And it's by The Roots. I'm like, The Roots? Jimmy Fallon's band? The Roots, you know? And then I listen to the song. I thought, oh, that's a great song. And then I listen to their first album. I'm like, that's a great album. I mean, a lot of it is really quite vulgar. But, you know, some of it's really good. And I'm just always looking for new music. So we're always refreshing our bumper music around here.
You know, you could use the app Shazam.
I don't care about that.
Because it will tell you what that song is.
Oh, well, I can. But TuneFind also gives me the other stuff I can look at.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a website.
But this is on your phone.
I don't want
I'm trying to help you.
You're
that way
you're
you can just do
life.
It real quick. That's all you got to do.
I'm not putting another surveillance technology on my phone.
Oh, boy.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning.
Okay, but can I tell you what I actually do? This is going to hurt. This is going to really hurt John's brain. So we're driving in the car. We're listening to the radio, and some song comes on that I think is interesting, or I don't think we already have it as bumper music or whatever, but I maybe don't know the name of it, and it's not on the little digital readout or whatever.
You record
so
it.
So I... No! You are 100% right!
I
hold my phone up to the... Like, I start it recording, and I hold it up, and then when I get home and I'm processing through the stuff that's on my phone, I'll play it, and I'll find a keyword, and then I'll look it up by the lyric online, and...
You know, you could know immediately with that app.
Well, you know, that's better than what I was expecting you to say. You whipped out a notepad and started writing the lyrics down. So,
no, he actually.
This also has happened.
Yeah.
All right, David then. Wayne's in the newsroom with
trying
our headlines, David.
You.
Well, it is Shutdown Watch 2025. We're entering the second day. Could last until, likely last until at least tomorrow. Some senators are out for Yom Kippur. House Speaker Mike Johnson, of course.
What did Yom Kippur ever do to them?
Speaker Mike Johnson is pointing the finger at Democrats, of course, and Democrat leaders Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer are saying that Republicans forced the shutdown. The Israeli Navy.
Can I tell you, I was ever so slightly miffed at the national news, which they cannot. You cannot know everything in your pronunciations, but they were reporting on how some members of Congress are pushing to get the amendment to the Constitution to make it so they don't get paid either during a shutdown.
Right.
Which right now, of course, the Constitution says you cannot adjust salary, you know, during term. And so that protects them from that kind of influence. And they gave a list of all the people who are not taking pay right now. Ashley Moody is not taking pay. She's donating it to a charity. And then Kat Kamick is also, and she had done this video about how this is ridiculous. How are we getting paid when they're not getting paid? You know, everybody should take the hit, and that should maybe motivate us a little bit. And they called her Kat Kamack. You know, you go out of your way to mispronounce a name. And I just thought, it's prominent Florida congresswoman. And okay, anyway, go ahead, David. It's a pet peeve. It's a little thing. Anyway,
absolutely.
Go on.
Well, the Israeli Navy says they intercepted a flotilla of 20 boats carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza and detained about 200 people, including apparently Greta Thunberg was there. And Israel's foreign ministry says the vessels violated a naval blockade and were nearing a combat zone. But Israel does say that they have found safe channels to complete that aid delivery. And ICE agents are going to be on hand this year at the Super Bowl. That word follows the announcement that Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny will be headlining the halftime show. Homeland Security Advisor Corey Lewandowski said there is nowhere that can provide a safe haven for people in the country illegally.
All right, David. Thanks
they
so
can
much
afford
for
to go to the Super Bowl? I can't even
afford
to go to an NFL
game. It might
game.
Not be inside the walls. It might be in the vicinity. It might be the workers. It might be. There's a lot of stuff that comes to town when the Super Bowl comes to town. Most of it bad. I mean, genuine, I don't mean to ruin your Thursday morning, but like really bad things happen around Super Bowls. Like really, trafficking. I mean, massive amounts of drugs and trafficking. So, actually, somebody had sent me the specific language of the Doge report, or at least of the report of the Doge report. This is an amazing description. Sanger Theater Management, $150,000 paid to a management company that the state noted brings drag shows to the theater. Yeah, to ASM Global that brings all the shows to the Sanger, including this one. They make it sound like
that's the only thing.
We went out and contracted some folks to spend $150,000 just so we could get drag shows. It's so misleading. I mean, look, if the evidence shows that there's been wasteful spending, then the evidence will show that there's been wasteful spending. You don't have to exaggerate, cherry pick, and present it in a misleading way. And my own bent all the time is when I find people presenting information in a slanted way, I presume they're lying to me because they wouldn't do that if they could present it straightforwardly.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. No votes in the Senate on any plan to vote on the government funding bill due to the Jewish High Holy Day of Yom Kippur.
The Republicans need 5 additional Democratic votes to break the deadlock and pass what the Republicans call a clean bill to reopen the government. Perhaps some good news on the horizon. Both the vice president and some Democratic leaders don't think the shutdown will last very long.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, Vice President J.D. Vance calls it the Schumer shutdown, but Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Jake Auchincloss on Fox and Friends First disagrees.
Republicans have control of the White House, of the Senate, and of the House. And rather than fund local law enforcement and release the Epstein files, they would rather shut down the entire government and make this whole country suffer.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 67 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Two students at Booker T. Washington High School recently had to be rushed to the hospital after having issues related to a laced vape device. Two students passed out at school on Monday and then on Tuesday. Officials say both students were exhibiting strange behaviors before they collapsed, and police also say that both students were using vapes that were laced with amphetamines. The vapes have now been sent off for testing. Pensacola police are still investigating. Yesterday, police responded to a bomb threat after a suspicious package was reported near the Lakeview Center. That happened at about 5 o'clock that night. An official informed an employee that a package contained a bomb, prompting the evacuation of the building and the nearby areas. The bomb squad arrived. They x-rayed the suspicious package. Ultimately, they found nothing. Police have now, yesterday, they gave the all clear at about 6 p.m. They're now looking for the person who reported that threat for further questioning. Well, the Federal Aviation Administration set to furlough thousands of employees as the government shutdown now enters its second day. Airlines have warned the shutdown could slow flights as traffic controllers and security officers will have to work without pay. At the Pensacola airport, so far, all's going smoothly.
Not so much of an impact right now. You know, we basically work with 3 federal agencies, everything from FAA, TSA, and also CBP, Customs and Border Protection at the airport. So I've talked to all their leadership on impacts. They don't see, I think you alluded to it earlier, they don't see many impacts at first.
Airport Director Matt Coughlin does say the effects probably won't be noticeable for passengers until employees have been working a little bit longer without pay. More than 13,000 current air traffic controllers will be required to continue working and not be paid nationwide until the shutdown has ended. The 11,000 employees being furloughed make up just about a quarter of the FAA's staff. Republican Senator Rick Scott sharing some blame for the federal government shutdown. He was on Fox News yesterday when he asked if Republicans and Democrats are both to blame. He said absolutely, although he did criticize Democrats for not supporting a resolution to keep the government running. Scott said, in a shutdown situation, nobody wins. A former state employee suing after being fired for a social media post. FWC biologist Brittany Brown was fired last month after an Instagram post about Charlie Kirk's murder. The FWC says the post was not in line with the FWC's values or mission. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice day today with a high near 85 degrees, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Friday, another 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise sunny skies, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Going into Saturday, a bit breezy with a high near 82 degrees, 30% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon, low near 71. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
68, our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival comes to Calvert in the Heights this Friday and Saturday. Hear the stories, the interviews, enjoy music loved by all, and meet songwriting legends. From Rick Huckabee to Gary Nichols, James Atkins to Mike Magno. Country, folk, bluegrass, rock, and Muscle Shoals influences. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival at Calvert in the Heights, October 3rd and 4th. Admission is free at Calvert's, the relaxed restaurant and bar with great seating and stunning views of Pensacola Bay, 670 Scenic Highway.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this Thursday morning. It's almost chilly out. 68, 69, you know? Woohoo! I'll take it. We're into October. We're into the time where the end is near. the end of the horrible heat is almost here. Yesterday, we had a really good conversation with the director of the Pensacola International Airport, Matt Coughlin. Mayor's out of town, not available. I think he's on vacation. I don't usually ask. If he can't be there, we'll talk to somebody else. Matt Coughlin, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. All right, let's start with the big topic. The whole government has shut down. FAA is a federal administration. Air traffic control is federal, and there's a lot of federal things connected to what you do. How, if at all, is this now or in the future affecting people who want to go fly at the airport?
Yeah, so not so much of an impact right now. You know, we basically work with three federal agencies, everything from FAA, TSA, and also CBP, Customs and Border Protection at the airport. So I've talked to all their leadership on impacts. They don't see, I think you alluded to it earlier, they don't see many impacts at first. The longer this goes, obviously,
then we may run into issues because, frankly, people just aren't getting paid at that point, and it could create some issues down the road. So hopefully this is short-lived. They've been through this rodeo before, hopefully it'll be pretty seamless. Where we'll see it is probably more on the administrative front with the FAA and working with our partners through the airports district office. So some of those administrative areas may slow down.
So the average passenger wakes up this morning and wants to know if their flight's running, and the answer is yes. And that's not likely to change anytime in the near future.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, that's good news. That's the good news. I mean, everything else, and, you know, whether this is a day or what, last time I think it was 35 days, and, you know, we'll see. Everything else would be speculative at this point. I mean, at some point it does start to hurt, just in air travel, just not yet exactly. Anything else about the shutdown, whether it's DHS or CBP, that we need to know about? Because it seems like all of those functions are all funded functions, like the military is still, you know, I mean, not funded, but they're operational and then they'll get paid in arrears, right? So the job is still being done.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I expect it to be pretty seamless. And when it starts hitting 3 or 4 weeks, I may change my tune a little bit. Hmm. But for the near future, I think it's going to be pretty seamless.
Very good. Meanwhile, the airport is super busy. What were the year numbers like? Up like usual? You've been growing still, always?
Yeah, so we just ended the fiscal year yesterday. I don't have the official numbers, but we've been tracking them. So we're expecting about a 3% growth rate. So but we expect to probably hit about 3.1 million passengers over the fiscal year, which is another record for us. So every year coming out of the pandemic, we've had a record year, and this is just another one. So, and it's pretty noteworthy because, you know, we've had some challenges this year with one of our airlines went bankrupt. Another one is struggling in bankruptcy. And we also have an airport nearby that opened up over in Gulf Shores. But we're still growing, and pretty impressive numbers.
Only 3%, Matt. Gosh, slacking.
Oh, I know. No, that's good. But
only another record year, 3 million people, ho-hum, you know? That's amazing.
Yeah, and I always say this, but people probably get sick of it, but if you think about that, that's putting the population for the entire city of Pensacola through the facility every 7 days. So it's a busy place. So.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about that numerically. You tell me, you're more of the industry guy. That our MSA is about 500,000. You know, Santa Rosa and Escambia County together is about 500,000 people. That means that the airport that serves that area throughputted 6 times the local population in the year. How is that for a fighting weight comparison to other communities? Because I assume that's a better overall metric of a, you know, per MSA kind of standard. How do we do compared to even larger other medium-sized airports?
So there's a saying in the industry, you've seen one airport, you've seen one airport. They're all different. And that includes our MSA, our what we call the catchment area. So we're the largest from a passenger standpoint between New Orleans and Jacksonville. But if you drew the great circle up to Birmingham, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, we're the largest in that entire footprint. So we get a lot of what we call leakage from other areas, too. So Baldwin County, for instance, if you look at all the citizens over there, 92% of them use Pensacola. So that just gives you the environment we operate in, and we put a lot of people through, and they're not all just local here in the city. They're from counties surrounding us, and we put a lot through.
Can I make a joke that I think you'll laugh at?
Absolutely. Please.
So for those who don't know, Matt used to be the commanding officer at Whiting Field, which, of course, is the busiest airport in the world. And you made the joke that if you've seen one airport, you've seen one airport. Well, I mean, not really. If you've seen NAS Whiting Field, you've seen two airports.
That's right. And on top of that, at Whiting, we had 13 outlying airfields on top
there
of that.
There you go.
So, we've seen a lot of airports.
I thought you'd appreciate that. For those who don't know, it's two completely separate. I mean, they're not, you know, two separate airstrips and the way they operate. Anyway, talk to me about the ongoing state of our plans for the future. A new terminal, a new parking structure, outlying parking structures. You know, ST is building a massive new facility on the, I got to think here, on northwest corner, west corner of the airport. Anyway, talk to me about some of this stuff.
Lots of stuff going on. So right now, focal to our efforts is the new concourse, but it's not just a new concourse. It's a modernization program. So we want to modernize what we currently have at the same time, build capacity with a new concourse, five gates. So where we're at with that is we just are about to go out on the street with the bond. It's $100 million plus. We just had the rating agencies all briefed up last week. We expect to see those ratings come out this week. So the money's there. Plus, we've gotten a lot of assistance both on the federal and state side to help with that. So where we're at, we're currently pushing towards 60% design. It's going to start with a new security checkpoint, and then it's going to expand to the overhead causeway, walkway over to the new concourse, and eventually a new five-gate concourse. We have other projects going on. We just finished design for another 600 surface lot, the one we just built off Tippin. We have design for to add another 600 spots over there.
Really?
We're getting the money for that. Yeah. It'll be just north between there and the ST hangars, just off of Tippin.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of buried back there, but it'll all be connected to that long-term lot there. So,
and will that have access, direct access into the airport roads, or will you still have to kind of go out to Tippin to come back in to get to the airport?
It'll be a short shuttle ride, okay. And we'll have shuttles going out there. So that brings up a great point. For those that do park out in those areas, our outlying lots, if you go on our website, we have a shuttle tracker, so you always know where those shuttles are.
Oh, okay.
And how long it'll be. The wait will be minimal, but you can always track that. It's like an Uber almost. So it's one of the tools we added just to give people awareness of, hey, I'm out in this parking lot. How long is it going to be? And you can actually watch the shuttles coming to you. So a new tool. But we'll add that parking lot. We have the ST Hangar 3 is vertical, as you've seen. It's huge. And we're going to be starting Hangar 4 here real soon. So we expect those beneficial occupancy next summer for Hangar 3 for ST. And probably about 4 months after that, Hangar 4. So we will have built out that campus.
The one of the things you and I have talked about many times over the years is the overnight plane storage problem, that you just don't have space on the ramp, basically, for the airlines that want to run morning flights that need to stay overnight. Have you solved that problem? Is that still a constraint?
We don't have an issue today, but that always changes, in particular when your schedules change in the summer. So we do have, and it's going to be a challenge when we start building the new concourse, because that's going to take some of that overnight parking away.
Yeah.
But we're working with our partners. We're coming up with creative solutions to park them in different areas. And so I don't see it being a problem. It's just something that has to be managed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, last thing before I let you go, we're talking to Matt Coughlin. He's the director of the airport, and relevant to this question, he is a former a retired captain, right? 06, you were a retired captain, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And he was, as I said, the former base commander for NES Whiting Field. You've heard the comments that Pete Hegseth made yesterday. As a, you know, retired, you have a little bit more liberty to talk about these things. And feel free to decline. You know, I don't want to put you in an awkward spot. And you're not on the show as military. You're on the show as the airport director. I get that, too. But anything you want to say about what you heard yesterday, or as I've been playing the clips this morning, about this kind of re-emphasis of standards, change of name, any of the stuff that you heard in this speech yesterday?
No, I think it's good. I mean, going back to basics and standards is good. I think it's important for the flag officers and general officers to have an audience with the commander in chief and the secretary of war, and I think that's good. It kind of sets the landscape, but I think bigger than all of this is, I think it's messaging. I think it's messaging on a strategic level to those that might want to cause harm to our country, namely China, Russia, and some of our other folks out there. And this, to me, is a lot of it, probably more so, is the messaging part of it to to those that might want to cause our harm.
No, that's a great point. I mean, obviously the American people were the audience, but so was China, so was Russia. There was a big international audience for this speech and for the name change and for the, you know, the statement of the content of what was in it. So, no, that's a great point that it's messaging to them, too. All right. Deterrence starts with ideas, and it has other elements as well. Matt Coughlin, thank you. I appreciate that. Matt Coughlin, he is the director of the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thanks for your service. Thanks for your service at the airport and for keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it. And for letting us know when those loud gray jets take off. I love that, too. So,
okay, great. I will. I'll give you a shout.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Yeah, no, Matt is always great about providing information, answering questions, being available. By the way, one quick note. I think earlier I had said that it was Jay Collins who made the comment about the welcome sign of Pensacola. It was Blazing Golia, the CFO, who made that comment. He's the one who released the report. Why is this report not readily available on the web? If we're all supposed to, you know, understand it and think about it and consider the significance of this thing. I don't, you know, maybe I'm just bad at research, but I can't even find the report. So I'm just telling you, I want to read the report. I want to read the actual writing of it. Is it cherry picked? There's a couple of editorials out saying that they've basically gone out of their way to, you know, in a very biased way, attack the counties that they don't like their spending of, like Hillsborough County, for example. So we'll see. 550 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing I was going to tell you? Yeah, I can't remember now. Right out of my brain. Sorry about that. Hey, if you're thinking about buying the next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. What they specialize in, and, you know, I know I explain this a lot, but it's important, is most of the time when you go to a used car place, you get a really wide range of used cars. You know, you might get a car that's a year old. You might get a car that's 15 years old. At Frontier Motors, you really only get cars that are a couple of years old. They're really specializing in cars that are almost new, cars that came back after, you know, like one owner had it for a year lease, maybe 2 years, you know, maybe 15 or 20,000, maybe 30 or 40,000 miles at most. That's kind of their sweet spot because they're buying A condition cars, you know, like A, B, C, D, A condition cars that they know you can count on, that they are going to include a warranty for 10 years or 100,000 miles, and they're going to make sure that you're getting a great car. Like the Odyssey that we bought a few years ago had, I think it was 12, it was either 12 or 13, I cannot remember which one, but it's 12 or 13,000 miles. It was a year old. It had been a corporate lease down in Orlando, came back to the dealership. They put it out for, you know, Honda pre-owned certified. Didn't sell 90 days. They have a policy. They put cars, you know, on the lot. And we got a Honda pre-owned certified car at a sweet deal through an auction that Frontier picked up in Orlando just because. Like, that's just how they work. It's a fantastic way to look at a variety of cars of different, you know, makes and models and trim levels and all that. And if they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have what you want, send them looking for it. Because they go look for cars for people all the time. They're always buying cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
You depend on your vehicle, and you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair. And due to customer demand, they've had to move to a larger shop now on Beverly Parkway. They offer low rates, great warranties on all of their work, free vehicle inspections, and they even offer financing. Their fully certified mechanics will take great care of your regular or diesel vehicle. Call 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 403 Beverly Parkway, Pensacola.
You can be part of the studio audience for a new season of Studio Amped at WSRE. The free concert series begins this Friday with artists from the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival. Doors open at 6, shows start at 7 in the WSRE Amos Studio at Pensacola State College. Visit WSRE.org for the full lineup of artists performing for the 16th season. Studio Amped, starting this Friday through October 16th at WSRE.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
What's your name?
Fat Amy.
You call yourself Fat Amy?
Got a text in here, 437-1620, that it seems like during a government shutdown, the military and other agencies like, you know, air traffic control or DHS that have to work should keep getting paid. And Congress should not get paid and have all of their perks withheld until a budget can be reached. Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting question, the one about Congress, and I feel like I haven't thought it through enough to really say yes. At first glance, it seems kind of obvious that members of Congress who can't avert a government shutdown shouldn't be getting paid, as a way of making them feel the pain of their decisions. You know, basic principle of government is that the people making decisions should have to suffer the consequences of those decisions. I get that. At the same time, they have to work in order to produce the thing, so it would be weird to make them work without pay. Also, I feel vaguely like there's a coercion element somehow available there, that the maybe wealthier members of Congress could somehow coerce the less well-off members of Congress who really need their income by a threat of withholding pay or a government shutdown. I understand that the first blush makes it seem very obvious they shouldn't be getting paid. I'm just not sure. On the other hand, members of the military, you know, FAA, any folks who are actually working should be getting paid now. This notion that you have to work for nothing, later we'll pay you in back pay and we'll make it up to you, nutty. That's feels like slavery. You know, like it's a promise for later pay, but they have bills now. Now, if people get furloughed and aren't working and aren't getting paid, okay. You know, but just the injustice of saying that these people don't work, but they'll get paid later, and those people do work, but they'll get paid later. Why are some people getting later paid for vacation now and other people getting later paid for work now? That doesn't make any sense to me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The FBI is cutting ties with the Anti-Defamation League. Director Kash Patel is accusing the group of spying on Americans. Patel also claimed that former FBI Chief James Comey had close ties with the ADL, although he didn't offer any details. Now, the Anti-Defamation League has responded that it respects the FBI and remains committed to protecting the Jewish people. A flight attendant being treated for injuries after two Delta jets collided at New York's LaGuardia Airport. Air traffic controllers say the regional jets were taxiing on a runway last night when the wing of one plane collided with the nose of the other plane. And primatologists...
No. I mean, that's just racing, rubbing his racing. They didn't run into each other. They didn't collide. They didn't engage.
The proper application for that.
Oh, did I misunderstand? Out of context, sorry.
Famed primatologist Jane Goodall has died at 91, Andrew. The Jane Goodall Institute announced her death on social media yesterday. She passed away while in California on a speaking tour. The Institute says she died of natural causes.
Yeah, and one of the, long-lasting, I think, legacies of what she did was she brought awareness to the enhanced abilities, cognitive function of the apes, chimpanzees particularly, but, you know, making people view them as not just animals, as having, very low grade or sometimes even more, you know, higher grade cognitive functions compared to humans, something that people had always assumed was not the case. And so certainly for humanizing or raising the moral status of apes, absolutely responsible for that. I love there was one time, you know, she got on the cover of National Geographic and, she's a very cute young woman, you know. And so her legs were in her like khaki kind of gear or whatever. And people would say, oh, you only got on the cover of National Geographic because of your legs. And she's like, well, if my legs help me get funding so that I can study the, you know, chimpanzees and the apes and I can bring understanding and awareness to their situation and learn about them, I'm glad I have good legs. I mean, it was such a completely pragmatic response. Like, how dare you? And she says, I mean, it works good for me. So, okay. It seems like a good outcome in the end. 559 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Pensacola Symphony, 100th season. Get started on Saturday, October 4th, opening night. You're invited. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster or at the Sanger box office. And the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer March, coming to Seville Square, October 25th. Activities kick off at 8 a.m. and every year it is a big event. You can go to, let's see, Making Strides Walk / Pensacola FL.org.